till every minute in England due to smoking. Police say that they're sorry that former officer Wayne Cousins wasn't caught before he raped and murdered Sarah Everard following a string of indecent exposure offences. Deputy Assistant Commissioner Stuart Cundy released this statement on behalf of the police.
And I'm so sorry for everything that they've gone through. Like many, I absolutely wish that Wayne Cousins had been arrested before he went on to kidnap, rape and murder Sarah Everard. And for that, I am so sorry that he wasn't.
And according to consumer group Which, 1 in 7 people have skipped meals due to the rising cost of living. They're now calling on the government to postpone their decision to increase their energy price guarantee to help people from falling into further financial distress. That's the latest from Radio News Hub. I'm Sophia Lewis-Hobbs.
At Tesco Mobile, we're a little bit and a little bit the best of and the very best of. We call it Supermarket Mobile. It's why we offer helpful extras like club card points towards your weekly shop, so your can help your. This is Super Helpful Mobile. This is Supermarket Mobile. Tesco Mobile. Every little helps. Tesco club card holders only. Collect one club card point for every £1 spent. See tescomobile.com/clubcardpoints.
Colourful.
Coming up next,
colourful,
Julius
colourful radio.
Want to pay less for reliable broadband? If you are in receipt of government benefits, you could be saving money right now on your monthly broadband and mobile bills. We know people are worried about their bills, so the government has worked with network providers to offer cut-price broadband and mobile deals called social tariffs to people on lower incomes, with some providers now offering deals as low as £10 per month. A simple switch to a social tariff could lead to a saving of around £180 per year. To find out more about social tariffs and other government costs of living support you could be eligible for, visit helpforhouseholds.campaign.gov.uk today. That's helpforhouseholds.campaign.gov.uk.
Live on DAB Digital Radio, colorful.com and apps. This is Colorful Radio. Colorful radio.
Africa in Focus is sponsored by Dermadew Lotion. Visit dermashark.co.uk.
Colorful radio.
Good morning, good afternoon, or even good evening, depending on your time zone, where you are listening to us, or even connecting with us. Welcome to Africa in Focus. And I'm your host, Julius Baluto. I'm joined by my great friend, Jonas, who a broadcaster. He's also got this show, Talk Africa. Yeah, Talk Africa. On Channel 7. He's a broadcaster, journalist, great friend of mine. And then I've got my other great friend, Emmanuel Rufe. He's also a journalist, editor for The African Voice, and also is editing another publication. I think he's going to talk about it. Ah, you guessed right. We are talking about elections in Nigeria this morning. Welcome, gentlemen. Welcome to Africa in Focus. Always a pleasure to have you.
Thank you. Thank you for having me, Julius. Always a pleasure to be on the show.
Yeah, we start with of course, it's no longer a secret. Nigeria knows who won the election again, who won. Of course, we don't know whether he won because there are people who think that he didn't win, but he has been declared the winner. And Mr. Tinubu now will be the great first president of this populous nation of Africa. And it's too early to say which way forward. Things may change. We don't know yet. But before we start, gentlemen, let's listen to a clip of what he was talking about when he was declared the winner.
It shines even brighter as the continent's biggest democracy. You should be proud of that. Not dot, that, or thing. Because you didn't win the election. You are a patriotic citizen. Be helpful to our integrity, character, and reputation. We have created the biggest democracy as Nigerians. We should be proud of that. I thank all of you who supported my campaign. Most especially President Muhammadu Buhari, GCFR, for his commitment and dedication to the cause of our democracy. He is indeed a true patriot. I must also thank his wife. It is the entire family. They were on this election. They keep their eyes on the ball. Committed, patriotic, loyal, and firm.
There you have it, Emmanuel. First, are you celebrating? Was that your candidate?
Celebration or celebrating? Well, that is not my candidate. He's not my candidate. But as he said, Nigeria is the biggest democracy in Africa. Thank you very much. I've just said that he wasn't my candidate anyway. But having won the election by the constitution, he should be sworn in as the next president of the country. Be it as it may, we had four candidates who contested the election. And he had the greatest sinews to go around the country helped by the outgoing president. We have read so many reports of the election manipulation. We have so many reports of violence. We have so many reports of how the opponents have been muzzled. We have so many reports of how the beavers did not work in many places. Beavers is the machine that read the PVC. We have so many reports of violence. So we now hearing that he has been sworn in. I have seen the results. He got about 8 million votes, followed by Atiku, and then followed by Peter Obi. Well, let me just make it straight. Peter Obi was my candidate, or he has been my candidate. And we are saying that most of the opposition candidates have merged to oppose the results based on so many manipulations. Well, the president, if you go back to history, he was the one that helped Buhari into power. Buhari contested the election 2003, 2007, 2011. He lost. Now, he now went back to these old corrupt people. They team up and they helped him to power. So it's a payback. It's a payback. Tinubu is getting the payback because he helped Buhari to power. We know that very well because this is a man that Buhari lost three elections.
Is that and why he's thanking Buhari so much? This is Bola Tinubu?
Yes, because
even he's thanking his family as if it was a family
affair. His family. He's thanking Buhari, he's thanking his family, he's thanking all the corrupt people who helped him to power. Buhari, to be fair to him, is a clean man in terms of morals. But when he lost the three elections, he went back to the old people, brigade, that he deemed corrupt to help him to power. And then they helped him to power. So it's a secret pact or something between him and Tinubu. Well, I'm going to deliver the southeast, southwest to you. You deliver the north. And Buhari did that because Buhari could not deliver the southwest during his 2003, 2007, 2011 election. He could not. So Bola Ahmed Tinubu helped him to power. And that is why the slogan, Emiloko, came up. Emiloko means it is my turn.
Wow. Join us. You know, in politics, when people say that in Kenya, we used to coin a different phrase, which means the same. It's our time to eat.
It is our time. So it is his time because he has done a lot for Jim Buhari, who is outgoing now. He is thanking him because actually Buhari said, Ahmed Tinubu said, he cried to him for help and he helped him. And now it is done to help him back. It's a payback. It's a payback. Okay. But the quarrel I have with Buhari, this is a clean human being who has not been seen as morally corrupt in the real sense of it. Going back to these old positions, all of them team up and help you to power. So it's a payback time. So I'm not celebrating anything.
Jonas, thank you very much, Emmanuel. Jonas, we see, you know, by all indications, a lot of young people were so hopeful. Someone like Obi was to win, you know, it would have made a huge difference. So far, actually, being a first timer, he has done so well to garner some 6 million votes, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, what do you think about the allegations of, but we will come to the allegations of manipulation and whatever else. But what do you think maybe the youths in Nigeria right now, because now the guy who won is 70 years again.
Well, just before we came on, I saw this post where somebody said it's only in Africa where to be considered a good leader, you must be over the age of 70. And which again brings home, you know, brings us back to the argument that we're the discussion rather. But I remember a couple of weeks ago, I interviewed this investigative journalist. I'm not sure if Emmanuel will know him. His name is David Hundeyin. I'm not sure if I pronounced his surname right. Who did a documentary and wrote extensive articles about the alleged involvement of Tinubu in some money laundering and drug issues back in the early 90s. And of course, the guy he was supporting, Peter Obi. And then I asked him, you know, he made mention of the age factor, and I asked him, but, you know, if you're talking about Peter Obi, you're talking about Tinubu, you mentioned Atiku as well, you mentioned the age. Relatively, Peter Obi is younger than them. However, he also made mention of the fact that Nigeria is a youthful population. But these candidates do not reflect the youthfulness of Nigeria. None of the candidates. But one thing, for me, I think the person who came out of this year's election as victor is Peter Obi. And I say this, I made mention of this on one of my programs, Julius, is that we've never seen this happen in the history of Nigeria. It has always been the two political parties, APC and PDP. I mean, if you look at since Nigeria, decided to embark on democratic dispensation back in 1999, it was the PDP. And then years on, APC took over. And now we've gone back to APC. But look at the margin in which Tinubu won the election.
This is Colorful Radio. Colorful Radio.
During life, your skin is subject to many conditions, leaving your skin rougher and tighter. We want to help. At DermaShack, our unique formula provides day-to-day moisture for all skin types. Our signature cream, Dermadew, is a cream that can be used for both specific areas of dry skin and as a daily moisturizer. So why don't you try our cream, Dermadew, an intense rehydration cream that leaves your skin like silk. Please go to our website, dermashack.co.uk, to see our skincare range and begin your journey into total moisturization. Dermadew, total body cream, complete moisturization.
What I see here is just, over nearly 9 million. And then Atiku, who came second, Atiku, over 6 million, nearly 7 million. Then you have Peter Obi, over 6 million votes. And if you permit me to say, I think Peter Obi's camp had, you know, they have a long goal. I think they wanted to shake up the status quo this year's election. But the real test will come after 4 years. Because we've never seen this in Nigeria. We have never, ever seen this happen.
Yes, yes.
And if you consider the two main political parties, PDP, APC, these are the godfathers when it comes to politics of Nigeria. And for the Labour Party to be able to cut through to win in Lagos, the state by the former governor, who's now the president, Tinubu, speaks a lot of volume.
And the Federal Capital Territory, too.
Yes, the Federal Capital Territory, absolutely. So, for me, now it might look as if APC have won, but just look at the margins. It's telling. And to lose Lagos, the next 4 years is crucial for these two parties. I'm telling you, they will not be comfortable at all. Consider the fact of the allegations of malpractices, and for the Labour Party to be able to garner such vote. So for me, the journey has just started for Peter Obi, and the change that Nigerians are pushing for, particularly the youth in Peter Obi, has just begun. And this is something that they would definitely and they can definitely build upon for the next 4 years. Now, I'm hearing that potentially this case will end up in the Supreme Court, as we've seen in Kenya, as we've seen in Ghana as well. And this only benefits one person. You realize that in my interactions with some of the people that were back in the Labour Party, you realize that they took a different approach, Julius, which was not smearing the opposition, name calling. They wanted to stick to the facts. They wanted to bring in new politics. Whatever the outcome may be, should this case end up in the Supreme Court, I can see Peter Obi coming out saying that, listen, yes, the court have spoken. I don't agree with what the court has said, but I don't want any Nigerian to go out there and protest or to lose their lives. We will build upon this and we'll come back in the next 4 years. And this will gather another momentum for Peter Obi. So for me,
we'll come to that. We'll come to that. Yeah, I just wanted to say that although we are saying Bola Tinubu won, of course, the opposition are totally in disagreement to this. And let's hear what Dr. Ifeanyi Okowa had to say in a press conference not long ago.
That we can use through the process of collation. So if you have not transmitted those results, it means that you have actually not conducted the election under the very law that we all applauded. So the right thing to do is for the ANEC chairman to go forth and cancel the elections. Unfortunately, he has not come out to tell the world what has happened, why the results were not uploaded. There is a question mark there. He should be truthful. As I said, Section 26, he had taken an oath to be neutral and impartial. Therefore, he must speak to Nigerians and tell Nigerians the truth. And the truth is, they could not upload the results. What happened in INEC? Why was it that they could not upload the results? So something is wrong. Something is wrong inside INEC. Either they have connived or their system is down. But they must tell us the truth. If the system was down and they knew it was down, they ought to have postponed the elections. If the system was not down and they did not allow the upload of the results from the units, it means that they have connived and they are no longer neutral and impartial. So under this condition, there is no moral justification for further collation of the results. Because it is so expressly stated in that section, the section 64(4) at A and B, so clearly stated that if the polling unit results are not transmitted, it means truly that there is nothing to compare. So you cannot raise the hope of Nigerians. And I'm sure that we've seen that video where he spoke to Nigerians because he was under challenge in November. And he spoke to Nigerians very clearly. And we're aware that he was under pressure at some point in time not to transmit results. And the civil society and everybody gave voice to him to enable him to stand firm. And now, just on election day, they could not upload results. Something is fundamentally wrong. That means from the beginning, they had already planned the process to fail. But unfortunately for them, they have gone against the very act under which we're supposed to go on with the elections. So if you have failed to go by the law, and that law says it didn't say may, it says shall. It's a mandatory provision, so he knows that the only way out is to cancel it. You cannot say, let me proceed and conclude, then I'll review. Who is reviewing who? He's the chief returning officer. He has a right to take the decisions at this moment. You cannot go back, do something glaringly wrong, and you go back and want to review yourself. It does not make sense. It does not make sense. Nigerians are no fools. We are not fools. So you should do what is right. And that is the only thing that is actually right. So it's not even a question of calling for somebody else. Let him. He knows. He fought for this. He fought for it. The National Assembly gave it to him. President Muhammad Buhari assented to that bill, making it an act of the Federation. And now he that asks for it wants to breach the same law. It's very unfortunate that such things can happen in this country. Obviously not. So it's not a question of, oh, what happens to the offices? We are talking about the legality of what has been done. What has been done is based purely on illegality. It has breached our laws. You don't have to wait because he knows. The law didn't come on him. It was not forced on him by National Assembly. He was actually the champion supported by civil society. But now he's the one breaching the very law that he fought for. It's a very unfortunate circumstance.
Oh, Emmanuel.
Yes.
This one is a biggie. Listen, the technology that was there, was deployed there, was supposed to be, you cast your vote immediately, yes. The machines, yes, will, yes, upload it on a portal.
Yes.
So just imagine that for starters. Then we are saying that all these machines failed.
Yes.
No, in essence, no vote was cast, you know, uploaded on the portal.
No.
So when we say Bola Tinubu won, according to which votes?
Yeah. The machine that was is called Bimodia Voters Accreditation System, BVAS. It was supposed to prevent manual manipulation. Over the years, we have this manual manipulation whereby you vote, cast your vote, and it's you just drop it in a voting box, and they count it manually. But now BVAS, when you bring your PVC, you queue up, and then you now give it to the you do your BVAS, you are accredited. BVAS is supposed to accredit you. If your name doesn't show up, your face doesn't show up, you cannot be accredited. BVAS is supposed to accredit you. Then you cast your vote, and then the result is uploaded to the machine. But the process now is now manipulated. Now this BVAS cannot upload. Just on the day of the election, suddenly they cannot upload the result. So what happened? Now, over the years, we've been having this problem of manual voting, manual manipulation. I remember some years ago, during Obasanjo's regime, Yar'Adua, who actually said it all, that his coming to power as president of Nigeria was as a result of manipulation of results. And then he set up the reforms into the INEC. And there should be some serious reform. And this, over the years, they now came up with this electronic voting. And yet, we still have the same problem. Somebody, I've seen a lot of postings on the internet, I mean on the social media, where they say that this machine has been compromised so in such a way that you cannot upload. And then the INEC officials have been compromised. Most of them have been compromised with money. And so you cannot upload. And they were still using the manual method. So when are we going to get it right? And at the end of the day, the most of the results we are seeing there, obviously Tinubu won and all that, they are going to go to the Supreme Court because we have the final say. But let me just say this: it is not only the ruling party, even the PDP. They also tried. The person speaking there is the governor of Delta State. I heard his voice somewhere on social media where they were planning to manipulate the results. So what are we talking about? So most of the results in what we are seeing there, the 9 million votes of Tinubu, they will have to be scrutinized all over again. The 6 million or the PDP, they also have to be scrutinized all over again. What they are saying is that these results have to be taken to big time scrutiny and see whether they are right or not. And unfortunately, in Nigeria, once the president have been declared, it becomes really difficult.
Absolutely.
To change.
Yeah.
Oh, Jonas, should we cancel this election as if we are involved?
and this is my thing, Julius. As Emmanuel has just said, it makes no sense. And it was the same thing with Ghana. The moment the president is sworn in, there's no way the Supreme Court will all come out and say, hey, by the way, due to XYZ, this person actually won. So let's remove this one and put this one there. There will be anarchy. It will never happen. Never. You know, what they need to do is if opposition feel as though they have a strong case and they take it to Supreme Court, you know, within 2 weeks, like Kenya did, within 2 weeks, this matter has to be settled. It has to be settled before swearing in a president-elect or a new president. So in case of any eventuality, there's enough time.
Colorful radio.
You know, the issue with the BVS, Beavers, right? We had similar thing. When I say we, Ghana had similar issue. And it was at the 2012, the presidential election that went to the Supreme Court. This was when we were told, as spectators and as citizens of Ghana, that elections are won at the polling station, not at the collation center, or when the results are collated and sent or transmitted to the electoral commissioner. That's not when elections are won. Elections are won at the polling stations. One, the reason this was said was before an election results are transmitted to the EC, electoral commissioner, or the electoral body, agents of representative parties will all have to sign and agree on what has been projected as the final result and then sent. So, per adventure, in any case, if whatever gets declared by the electoral commission does not tally with what you have, then you have to contest it because something has happened. In this case, there were some instances where a young woman stood up and said that their agents were under duress and they were forced to sign the papers. So that is one aspect. The other aspect with the Beavers is, was the electoral body, INEC, ill-prepared for this election? Because you cannot tell me that you could not foresee this actually happening. Because at the end of the day, these are computers. Computers always crashes. Computers can, anything, any sort of abnormality can happen on the day of election. Was it such that they only had one BVS at every polling station? Were people not trained in case the machine should break down, what needs to happen?
No.
All these factors need to be considered before you know, like I'm saying, I don't see this case going to Supreme Court and Supreme Court turn around and say we have to give it to Atiku or Peter Obi. I don't see this. There will be anarchy in Nigeria. It will never happen. But what it would do, it will expose the inefficiencies within the electoral process in Nigeria, which is very, very important. So we could see that Supreme Court coming up with a verdict that saying that A, B, and C did not happen. We need to make sure this is implemented for future elections. And I think this will only strengthen Nigeria's democracy and its electoral processes moving forward.
If we are not careful, we may be creating a scenario or thinking of a scenario whereby we are like, okay, for the sake of continuity of a country, let's allow injustices to go on because we are fearing anarchy. You see, we are going to be in a situation just like Kenya, whereby right now in Kenya, the opposition leader Raila Odinga has declared he doesn't recognize the current president. And why are we here now? We are here because of election dispute. And also this technology. I want us to think about a situation whereby, come what may, justice must prevail. And you call it for whatever it is, because if actually results are not uploaded to a portal, I don't know, unless you're telling me there's another mechanism to capture the results away from the technology, which is acceptable across board, then what we are saying, that election shouldn't have been conducted. And also, let me remind you, the chair of INEC was given the chance to test the system not long ago, before the election. And he said there's no need, it's going to work.
I agree with your assertion, Julius. But we also need to factor in, you know, that situation on the ground and how volatile the situation is. Yes, we all want justice. But I'll go even a bit further that, you know, a lot of the times the way we're brought up as family, as society, and then, you know, the bigger nation, the way we do our things is different. And that's not to say it's not the right thing. So let me just give you a scenario here. 2012, when the now president contested against the former president, John Dramani Mahama, when the case went to court, I think the judges, I think it was 4-6 in favor of, or even I think there was one judge that made the whole difference because they had to vote in the end, right? And at that time, can you imagine what would have happened? That's not to say that justice is being overlooked, but sometimes I think, you know, common sense must prevail. In as much as we're going by the rule of law, we cannot. One has to tread cautiously and be able to put some amendments in the way to prevent these things from happening again, because the country would have turned over. That's not to say justice did not prevail. Of course, there will be irregularities, you know, especially in our parts of the world, across the continent of Africa. I'm yet to find any elections that more practices have not taken place. That's not to say I'm condoning it. I absolutely detest that. However, another question we need to ask is, even though more practices did take place, was it that much that it could have had significant impact on the outcome of the results? That's another thing that has to be taken into consideration. We know how expensive elections are. We know how people are emotionally attached to elections. And some people don't even need to be told to go out and cause mayhem. So all these things have to be factored in. And people must apply common sense. And it's so difficult. It's a bitter pill to swallow when you know that, you know, you've done what you're supposed to do and maybe it's gone against you. But sometimes if you're not careful and you keep pushing, then at the end of the day, what will happen is people will go out there, people will lose their lives, and it will be on your hands. And I think this is what the Labour Party are trying to avoid
Electoral justice is very important because, you know, if it's not happening and we keep on giving excuses for that in the name of keeping peace in the country, in the end, in the long run, there will be voter apathy because people realize they vote, but there's no change. Their vote no longer counts. And therefore, they may take to streets, hence the anarchy.
I understand, but this is why the Supreme Court is there. Because at the end of the day, it is the Supreme Court that can rule in favor or against by looking at evidence presented to them. And I hope that, you know, the INEC commissioner is called to the witness box to give an account of what happened, because based on what he says, will determine, you know, and of course, whatever evidence PDP and the Labour Party have in their possession will determine the true reflection of the just ended elections.
Before I come to you, Emmanuel, let's listen up to a different clip.
You know, the issue of the IREV portal, you know, was, you know, when you deflate a balloon, that's what happened to many of us because we struggled for it. We thought we were going to have one of the best elections ever. You know, beginning from the polling unit, when people have finished voting, you know, bringing out the result, collating the result, and also having the final result sheet pasted, and parties take their own, you know, copies, and then uploading it to the IREV portal right from the polling unit. We had issues. We were hearing certain things before the election, about four to three weeks before the election, that the portal was not going to be used, that they were not going to upload onto the portal. And we reported this to INEC. And, of course, you have the video to show that when the INEC chairman made a promise and said there was nothing like that. We should disregard all of the rumors that they were going to upload immediately onto the IREV portal. And so we believe that. We thought, you know, because issues of transparency and accountability, the voting starts, the calculation or the collation starts from the polling unit.
You've heard what she's saying. And, of course, you know, it's very important to take this on board with all the seriousness that it requires, because it's a huge cost. All these technologies, it's extremely expensive. To any country, it's not cheap, it's expensive. Why do they buy it if it's not going to work? Why do they buy it if it's not going to be used?
Yeah, INEC had more than 8 years or 7 years to prepare for this election. More than ₦1 trillion has been spent to procure this machinery. I mean, 7 years to prepare for an election. It's more than enough. You should have tested this machine. Look at what that woman was saying just now, that they reported the issue of IREC. I mean, downloaded the result. They reported it to Yakubu, who is the INEC chairman, but he didn't do anything up to the election day. So what are we talking about? Something was wrong somewhere. Maybe he knew. What did he know that we didn't know? Why did he not rectify the situation? That is the political culture. Everybody wants to win an election. For cancellation, a total cancellation of the result, I'm not for it. Because it's money. It costs money. It costs logistics. It costs a lot of money. And which means we're going to set another date. We're going to go all over again to the presidential election, National Assembly election, governorship election. It takes a lot of money. And Nigerians, as our colleague just said, Nigerians don't, it will lead to voter low turnout, low voters turnout. Now, so I'm not going for cancellation of the entire result, but there's something you said just now about the legal perspective of the election. The Supreme Court, are they really objective? Are they really objective? Because who appoints the Supreme Court is the president, by recommendation by the president. Have they really been objective? I've seen a lot of decisions taken by Supreme Court over the years. Some of them are not objective. So the rule of law really matters. Coupled with the political culture of our people, everybody wants to win. If they don't win, it goes to court. And the court is now now INEC. So what happened to INEC? INEC is supposed to be the official regulator of the election. Everything is mixed up, political culture, and then the way we the legal system generally. Who are the people in this? Who are the high court judges? Who are the Supreme Court judges? And there are certain cases where a particular Supreme Court judge did not agree with the majority report. But you see, so those are some of the things we want to look at. And then again, the INEC generally will not be able to conduct an election again. If an election is conducted again, are we sure that this next election will produce a different result or a similar result? It is difficult. So for me, generally, we should look at the areas where you have problems, where there were cancellations, there was violence. We can conduct an election in those areas again, and then we move forward.
This is Colorful Radio.
During life, your skin is subject to many conditions, leaving your skin rougher and tighter. We want to help. At Dermashack, our unique formula provides day-to-day moisture for all skin types. Our signature cream, Dermadew, is a cream that can be used for both specific areas of dry skin and as a daily moisturizer. So why don't you try our cream, Dermadew, an intense rehydration cream that leaves your skin like silk. Please go to our website, dermashack.co.uk, to see our skincare range and begin your journey into total moisturization. Dermadew, total body cream, complete moisturization.
Oh, so you don't advocate for total cancellation, yeah?
No, I don't advocate for total cancellation because of so many issues. One, there could be violence. If, for example, there's total cancellation of the election, which is to mean people will now, you see the way people feel in Africa. Like in your election in Kenya, you know what happened. The Supreme Court adopt, there's a particular case in law where they look at the overall nation in terms of stability, unity. And then they will say, okay, let's leave it like that to the next election. So the Supreme Court take a view that correlates with the political unity of the country. If, for example, in Kenya, the Supreme Court came up and anointed the opposition leader, you will see what will happen in that country. Also in Nigeria, if let us assume now that they cancel the entire result, then people will go back and vote again, and then maybe Atiku wins the election or Peter Obi wins the election. You can imagine what will happen in Nigeria. So I'm looking at
the angle. I can see the caution that you have, but yeah. In terms of electoral justice, it's not working in Africa because, as you rightly put it, all these electoral commissioners, chairmen, and the commissions, they have many years to prepare. And you know what a letdown after all those years, after all the money that has been spent. See, and carelessness, I'll say carelessness, because let me give you another scenario. Of course, Kenya is very different from other countries in Africa when it comes to the relationship between the Supreme Court and the electoral body and the government. It's very different because a couple of years back, Kenya rewrote, in 2010, they rewrote the constitution, brand new, incorporating views of everybody in the country mostly. And also they made a very progressive constitution. Distancing, they trimmed all the powers of the president. And you know, it's no longer the case that in the electoral chairman of the electoral commission is appointed by the president. In Kenya, it's not. The Supreme Court also, judges are not appointed by the president. They're appointed by Judicial Service Commission, of course, and also they are interviewed on TV. So if you bribed one and you saw them vying, you put a stop to that. So that's why he televised as well. So it's a bit different. But having said so, you see, there is something that maybe we can I can share and we learn from it as well. Last election we saw, you know, for example, in Kenya, you cannot as a body, as an electoral body, conduct election when you are not properly constituted. Proper constitution means that you have full commissioners. Every bit of commissioner is filled. You cannot go like, let's do it when we are four. It's got to be seven. And if you are not seven, it's not properly constituted, you cannot conduct election. But why am I saying that? Last general election, while it came to announcing the presidential winner, half of the commission distanced themselves from the chairman of the commission. So the chairman of the commission was left with two commissioners. And he announced the presidential winner almost by himself, without the cooperation of the other commissioners. So you can see how important that was. Legally, it should not, if you cannot conduct an election when one commissioner is missing, why are you going to announce the results when the voice of half the commission is away from you? You know, cooperation, they say they don't want to be involved, they're not going to be part of the announcement. So you see, that's where we are now in Kenya. And my question is, we have an issue, the misuse of power by the electoral chairmen.
Yes.
That's why in Kenya, last general election, they were recommending that the chairman should be taken to ICC, the National Criminal Court, for bungling an election. So that is a very sensitive position, seriously. And
it is.
You know, it's just very, very serious. I don't understand why, like, you've been given warnings, test these systems, as the lady was talking about. But yet you
But you know
what happens, Jonas? Mm-hmm. See what happens? Mm-hmm. On the very day?
you know something, Julius? It looks as if the electoral bodies within in respective African countries, we don't hear of them, or we don't hear of whatever exercises they're doing until getting close to elections.
Yes.
Now, I mentioned Ghana, 2016. So after the 2012 elections, the former electoral chairman had served his time. He actually retired. Then a new appointment came in, appointed by the the president. Is the same, you know, I know Nigeria has a federal system, but in terms of appointment with Ghana, the president, the executive, is the commander-in-chief of the armed forces. So, you know, he appoints the chief justice, the judiciary, the electoral body. So, Muhammad then appointed a new person as the electoral chairwoman. Now, because of the nature of our politics, and I think this cuts across the entire continent, the nature of our politics, where everything is deemed or perceived to be some sort of collusion or corruption, she was tarnished as somebody put there to do the bidding of the president. This is because it was the president that appointed her. Now, after the 2016 elections, then it transpired that within the commission itself, there were internal issues where people were affiliated to party A or party B, which then came to light that certain decisions that were taken were influenced because of one's political allegiance. So now, Nanado, who is now the president, appointed a new electoral chairwoman. Her name is James Mensah. Again, the 2020 elections, when it went to court, the opposition party were claiming that she was in cahoots with the government that appointed her for them to win the election. So then my question is, are we going to blame every single time we have an election or a new electoral body chairwoman or man is appointed by the president? We're going to blame them for whatever more practices that goes on. If that's the case, then I think Kenya's approach would be much suitable for countries like Ghana, like Nigeria without the president appointing people into this position? Because at the end of the day, they are the referees. And the moment there's an inkling of that institution being compromised, then, you know, nobody trusts it. Whatever results he puts out, whatever it is, there will always be people questioning it. So I think we need to really look at that institution. And I think, you know, it would be good for INEC, the chairman, to be summoned by the Supreme Court, because only he can tell us the arrangements, what we're putting in place. Because I don't understand how people can go and vote and they'll be turned away and say, oh, because you're Igbo, we're not going to let you vote. Oh, because you're here, if you're coming, I've seen a clip where the man was saying, if you're here, you're not voting for APC, then forget it, you're not voting. I mean, this shouldn't happen. There's no way this should happen. And the INEC cannot tell us that they did the due diligence. Now, if the problem is not necessarily based on the collation of votes, what about the people that were not able to vote?
Yeah, exactly.
So all these things should come up. And, you know, in as much as at the end of the day, Supreme Court will not, they will just make recommendations. That's what I think. They will just make recommendations. And as much as it's painful, you know, just like Emmanuel was saying, you know, when you're taking these type of things into account, you need to look at the whole picture and see how volatile the country is. And you see things happen. You know, you don't throw more gasoline into the fire if you want to quench it. You know, at the end of the day, common sense must prevail, but the law must prevail as well. And what I mean by that is whatever recommendations are put in place will only strengthen the electoral processes. Let's not forget, it's only, 1999, which is just over two decades.
Yes.
So it will take time. It will take time. But I believe that Nigeria will get there. And finally on this, if Nigeria gets it right, it will have a ripple effect across the entire continent. So a lot, we're all looking at Nigeria. Everything that happens in around the continent, sub-Saharan Africa, everything is underpinned by Nigeria. Nigeria gets it right, everything. Yeah. We'll all get it right.
Emmanuel, do you think they are going to court, by the way? Emmanuel, do you think they are going to court? Are they likely to go to court?
Yeah, they are likely to go to court. The parties are likely to go to court. But what I want to say is, just like our speaker just said, sustainability of election in Africa, it's a recurrent decimal. The INEC, the voting pattern, people voting free and fair election, is a problem we've not got right. I don't know why Nigeria is not getting it right at this period of time. If we get it right, all other African countries, West Africa, Africa generally, we also get that we have a lot of despot in Africa. We have to look at the case of Sierra Leone. They are going for election in June. It's a lot of election coming up this year, all over Africa. I think if Nigeria should get it right, all these African countries should be able to look at Nigeria as a model. They are going to court, but as I said, the Supreme Court should recommend that there should be re-election in areas that where you have violence. I see people were disenfranchised. People could not vote. Their PVC was almost useless. We see PVCs found in the bush. A lot of thousands of PVCs were found in the bush. Some people were have over-voting, under-voting. We have voting patterns that did not. We see some PVCs, people vote, the kind of PVC I saw was 5 days before the election.
Yes, I saw that as well. Which means
there were some secret voting 5 days before the election.
Can I say something, Emmanuel? Could that mean because I know that, you know, in terms of let's say the security personnel, so for instance soldiers will vote earlier than normal civilian. So I don't know, when I saw that actually made me laugh, but I was thinking, I know that there are some people within society that get preferential treatment to be able to vote, maybe policemen,
not in Nigeria.
Okay.
But if we had a postal ballot, I don't think there was any postal ballot. We are supposed to be voting here in Britain, but we don't vote. But we have other countries like Iraq, which has gone through civil war, voting. And we have, so why can't we vote in a, from the US or Britain or Canada?
I agree.
So that would have given us some leverage, but now we are not allowed to vote. Now, people in Nigeria voting, and we read all this thing from here. We are not there. So the issue is about INEC. Who is the referee? Who are they refereeing? How are they conducting the election? Is it sustainable? Is it free and fair? We've never had free and fair. Free and fair election has eluded Nigeria since 19 when Jagari came to power. Boko Haram have done serious havoc to the northwest and northeast. Now, after Boko Haram, you now have banditry, kidnapping. There are no jobs for the young graduates. There are the series of there's hunger in the land. Now you are now handing over to a new Buhari successor, who has vowed to continue from where the president left. So we are going to go to another 4 or 8 years of misery in Nigeria.
Well, let's hope, probably we cannot save for certain, because if they're going to go to court, we don't want to preempt what could happen in the court. We just want to wish all Nigerians a peaceful transition. A peaceful transition. That's the best we can wish Nigeria. And we cannot say when we go, of course, if you were to go back and vote again, these things, all these photos must be held upside down and shaken to make sure they work. Otherwise, what's the point anyway? So, well, our listeners, that's all we have time for this day. So, yeah, do stay tuned for more programs coming to you from Colorful Radio. To Jonas, Emmanuel, always a pleasure. Really appreciate you coming on board.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for having me. Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
Colorful Radio. Can I get to the-